Waking you up.
Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonia
on Kiss Radio.
This might sound a little bit morbid, but have you ever considered writing your own obituary? I only bring this up because there is a woman who did exactly that. And she goes on to write in her obituary that she wrote herself, "I leave behind my loving husband, Ron Hicks, whom I often affectionately referred to as Horses. Beep. I also left behind my children, whom I've tolerated over the years."
Tolerated?
You can tell she's got quite the sense of humor. She does go on to say, "I'll miss seeing my sweetest grandchildren grow up to be the incredible people they are meant to be."
Okay.
But of course, a little tongue-in-cheek as well. She goes on to say, "I finally have the smoking hot body I've always wanted because I'm going to be cremated."
Oh.
And she invites everybody to say their goodbyes.
Okay.
And so, of course, in this case, Sybil Marie Hicks, who passed away, knew that her time was near and decided to write this.
So, you know, there is a benefit to writing your own obituaries that you can show some of your personality and have that shine through. Part of me, though, would want to see what other people would write, in the same way that I hate writing bios. Like, you know, when we get asked to do events, it's like, "Oh, can you send us your bio?" And often we get told to write it in third person. Mm-hmm. And it's so awkward. It's like when you have to write a self-review at work. Like, I would just rather know what other people think of me. In the same way that a lot of people want to know what it's like to be at their own funeral. Of course, the caveat being that
you won't know
what's going on because you're dead. Yeah.
This would be a lot easier for me, though, to kind of write. Like, it's basically writing, like, a thank you and a goodbye to your friends and your family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And in that case, it's like writing it as, like, a Facebook status. Like, you would kind of make it funny and you would have this. I feel like this would be a lot more less pressure.
Sonia is dead. You know, like
Sonia just checked in at the funeral.
At the last Facebook update, yes.
Sonia just checked in heaven?
Oh, hopefully.
Laughing emoji.
Oh, my God. They have Facebook up here.
Wi-Fi here is great.
Is it free, though? Is it free? Yes.
Oh, man, they got 5G up in Evan.
Oh, did you? Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah, take me now.
Next level. Would you want to write your own obituary, Producer Jordan?
Yeah, uh-huh. And I already think I have it started. It'd be like, "Jordan was perfect. Everyone that came across him was blessed to be in his presence. His ray of sunshine that joined them every
you're
time they met."
You're not asked to write a fiction novel.
No, that's not fiction.
But you have control.
It's talking myself up. This is my last hurrah, okay?
Jordan was the greatest hero the world has ever seen.
Yes. May he rest.
What made you a hero? Just asking.
It's pure aura and being of greatness.
And the cape that he placed on top of the gravestone. Here lies Superman.
Oh, but I mean, fair enough. The funeral is the one time it's okay to be all about you.
Right?
It should be all about you. I hate to be the person at the funeral who's trying to steal the spotlight. Guys, I just got engaged. Oh. Not the time, Susan. Not the time.
Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonia
on Kiss Radio.
The latest lottery winner from Calgary is a total liar. He just won $16.3 million, and he has the nerve to say that he doesn't want to change much about his life.
Ugh.
And that not much is going to change.
Okay. Now, first of all, he was smart to say he wouldn't change much. It's not like he said he wouldn't change anything. I think every lottery winner always says the same thing. You know, "I don't want to change fundamentally who I am just because I have a lot of money."
Oh, please.
Right. But that ain't the case, Mr. Alfonso. Okay, this Alfonso guy that won, he is going to change. We checked back with this dude from Calgary in 1 year. 2 years. Guarantee he's going to be different. $16.3 million is life-changing money. Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah, that is for sure. Retire, you know, take care of the people in your life.
Yeah.
Donate to charity. You're living the good life. You're not worrying about finances at all. Yeah. With $16 million, that's enough for sure.
What would you do with that right away? Like right away, I think it would change me instantly.
You would probably quit.
Right? I would buy a house. The first thing I was thinking about, like, what gives me the most stress right now? I would go buy a home ASAP.
Right. And then with the $300 that's left over, what would you do with that?
Use it to cater a party. Right? Like,
would not fundamentally change who you are as a person, though. Like, yes,
100%.
You would?
Yes.
Oh, I don't like that about you then.
I would change. I spend my days going through flyers. You know how the rest of the world is always like, oh, more flyers. I'm the one that sits there looking at deals constantly. I wouldn't do that anymore. I wouldn't need to.
Yes, you would. I know you would because I know you how much joy you find in finding a good deal, Sonia.
Yeah, that's true.
For you, it's not necessarily about saving the money. It's the thrill of I can save money. So, and I think that's why so many lottery winners, they still find ways to cut costs. It's just because they have the money doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be foolish with it.
Right. That's, I guess, what keeps them rich.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right? Yep. Versus not, because we always hear about that on news stories. Like, this person won the lottery, and then now they are in debt.
Yeah. Well, they have TLC specials about that, too, right? You know, like, from riches to rags.
$16.3 million. Would you change as a person, Kevin?
As a person, I'd hope I wouldn't change.
But you know you would a little bit, right?
It might be a bit of me that rolls into work the next day. Like, those gold teeth, Kevin?
I threatened to let me change who I am. I just
look at my grill. Oh, yeah. You're hanging out with Kim and Kanye on the weekends.
In your private jet.
So, I mean, it's not really changing who I am. I've just changed my social circle.
Yeah, and I just upgraded my friends. Sonia, you're out. Kim, you're in.
Sonia, I wouldn't change much.
Hey!
Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
So we just wrapped up the Super Bowl. And now there's already talk about who could be performing at next year's Super Bowl halftime show. Because there was a lot of talk about Maroon 5 this year, along with Travis Scott and Big Boy, just kind of not delivering.
Not good enough.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like it.
I liked it.
Well, next year's Super Bowl is going to be held in Miami.
Oh.
And now there's a petition online started by fans to get one of their hometown boys to be highlighting the halftime show, the Super Bowl.
I know you want me.
Mr. 305.
Mr. Worldwide.
Dolly.
Oh.
Wow.
I think that's all of his catchphrases, right?
All he's going to say for all 9 minutes of the performance.
I can actually see Pitbull
having a show?
Yeah, because, you know, he's high energy. He's got mass cross-cultural appeal.
Uh-huh.
He's from Miami, which is never really, you know, a requirement to have some hometown representation, but it's nice.
It is.
I'm not like the biggest Pitbull fan, but I know, like, it's hard not to be in a good mood when you hear some Pitbull music, right?
I am not a massive Pitbull fan, and it's because of what you just illustrated. Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide. But I have friends who are obsessed with Pitbull. Like, anytime if he's coming to town or if there's a brand new Pitbull song.
Right.
And that's probably where it stems from, actually. It must be, because they play Pitbull on repeat. And it's just too much. I will say it would be cool because Pitbull has a lot of collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
So the amount of guests that he could bring Usher on. He could bring Enrique Iglesias. He could bring Shakira.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So he's got singles with like Neo, Afrojack, Akon, B.O.B., J-Lo.
I forgot that he's worked with so many of these
right?
names. Yeah.
So he's got Jay Sean, Timbaland, Lil Jon.
Holy smokes.
So, I mean, for that purpose alone, I think the collabos would be hot. Like, I think if they all came on for, like, one little song or whatever, but...
So, if it was the Pitbull and Friends show.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, so it was, like, a whole halftime show of
Pitbull
that.
Pitbull just by himself. I mean, a lot of his great singles are because, like, J-Lo's on it.
Is anyone on this one? Who's on this one? I thought this one was just him, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. It's Kaiocha, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, so this and then all of his other collaborations. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever I hear Pitbull, though, I think immediately Zumba. Because I think that's the like where 99% of his royalties come from.
Just all the Zumba classes.
Isn't it?
I'll let you know I'm going tonight. I'll keep a little Pitbull count.
Maybe that's why you don't like Pitbull. Because every time, every time you hear Pitbull, you just start to twitch. You're like,
Yeah, and like the next day, I'm so sore. A museum in Justin Bieber's hometown is all about him. And they've had it for a little while. It's Justin Bieber Steps to Stardom. And now a lot of the stuff that they have in this Stratford Museum is stuff that Justin donated himself or it's come from his family. And now they've added a couple of new items, including the basketball jersey that he wore during last year's NBA All-Star Weekend, a photo of him and his wife, Haley, also a pair of Justin Bieber's underwear.
On display at the museum.
Yeah, so apparently this is one of the pairs that Ellen DeGeneres gave to him, the Ellen show.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
one of the
Ellen
underwears, and it's been worn once. Reportedly, but I don't know how
Why? Would you ever want to go to your own museum? Like, would that be weird? Do you think that Justin Bieber goes to his own museum?
You know who would go?
Who's that?
Jordan.
No.
You would totally go to a museum all about yourself.
No. Oh, about myself, yes. Not about Justin Bieber, no.
The closest thing I have to it is going back to my parents' house because they still have all my childhood stuff.
It's their shrine to Kevin.
No, it's just stuff I haven't taken with me when I moved out. It's just like,
you're like, nobody else wants to see this.
It's just stuff that's sitting there in boxes. And my parents, every time I go over, they're like, so when are you going to take it? I'm like,
you have lots of room, parents. They have lots of room. Can't they just keep it?
That's the thing, you know?
I don't get it.
It's cheaper than paying for storage.
Yes. Yeah. My parents say the same thing. Like, when are you going to get rid of all this stuff? I'm like, it's one drawer. Like, seriously. How quickly do you want to convert this into a gym? Like, really?
It's that drawer full of stuff that's standing in the way, man.
Yeah. Yep. That's how I stay a little bit involved in it.
So they never forget you? What is it? Who is that Sonny? She's his. That name sounds familiar. Nah, don't know.
Kevin and Sonya on Kiss Radio.
As we approach Valentine's Day, where's the best place in the world to find love?
Ooh.
According to a new moving company survey, this is based out of Germany. They found that the top cities in the world where you can find love include London, Miami at number one, Paris, and New York City. These are some of the top places that people say, you know what, you move to these cities, you're going to find love. You're going to find good quality people that you're looking for.
Interesting.
Why is that funny to you?
So there's no love in any other city.
You got to move.
Yeah.
To find it.
Well, the thing is that you can find love really anywhere. God, I feel like I'm voicing a romantic comedy introduction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love really is. All around.
Around us.
I feel it in my fingers.
I feel it in my toes.
You all went the same way with
yeah,
them, right?
Buddy.
Where is the strangest place that you found love? And not even talking cities, but in what situation, what strange situation did you end up finding love with? Maybe it's your current partner. Maybe it's someone that you dated at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have a strange story. For me, like, my wife and I, we met in middle school. And to clarify, I was also middle school. Just so it doesn't sound super
gross.
Creepy. We were both in middle school at the time.
No, it didn't sound creepy until you had
made
to clarify it.
I don't know. I just don't. And then you and your husband, you met on Bumble.
Yeah, we met online. The majority of my friends met online on the apps.
Yeah.
Like, whether it be Bumble, Tinder, Match.
Yep.
Any of those.
That's the way a lot of people are finding love these days. But did you find love in an unusual place?
Okay, wake up. Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonya on Kiss Radio.
The list is out of the cities in the world where you're most likely to find love. So the report was composed of a global list of 100 in-demand cities that analyzed each city's demographics split by marital status and age and certain qualities of the people who live there. And the top cities include London, Paris, New York City, and Miami, which kind of, like, you think about all the romantic movies that are out there. Generally, those are kind of the settings, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe for a reason as well, too. People go there, they find love.
Mm-hmm.
But love really is one of those things where you can find in sometimes the most unexpected places.
Like, we got this text message. I found love at the Abbotsford Greyhound Station. I was a European exchange program student for university, and while we were going, now we're going on our 9-year wedding anniversary, all after meeting at the Greyhound Station.
You don't really see a lot of the rom-coms based on the Greyhound Station, do you?
No. Another text message. I found love when I had a flat tire. I wound up at a local tire shop. The young owner and I hit it off, and now we're still in love 5 years later.
Wow.
Come on, that's rom-com.
That is, yeah. Like, at least Hallmark movie.
Right?
Right? It's snowing outside, flat tire.
Got another one. Was out at the club. Was pretty drunk. Started talking to this girl for like 3 minutes or something like that. She took my phone, and she gave me her Snap so that I could go and, like, you know, follow her on Snapchat. Mm. The next morning, I hit her up. She didn't remember me. But we continued to talk, and now we're still together.
Okay.
So it worked out.
A lot of people still meet at clubs. A lot of people still meet at cafes and you know, online. That seems to be a really, really popular way that people are meeting their significant others. But other unusual places.
What about meeting while you're on vacation? For example, the nightly entertainment dance performers. Think about it. We got a text message here. And she goes, I was on vacation at a hotel in the Caribbean, and they would have those nightly entertainment dance performances. I met one of the dancers. Here we are 15 years later. married for 10 years.
Wow.
We kept in touch after meeting. We started like exchanging emails. Now we live in Chilliwack and have 3 kids.
Now, is there a rule that when you are working on resort that you're not supposed to hook up with any guests?
Probably.
At least while you're working, like while you're there?
Probably. And in this case, I guess because they kept in touch for so long, right, that it ended up working out for them.
But that's where they first met.
Yeah. Now, the text message, I met my fiance during a sales meeting. We worked for the same company. It was love at first sight. Okay. I met my boyfriend playing video games. So it must be one of those tournament style ones. Or no, it was online gaming for GTA 5. And that's how we ended up becoming partners.
Grand Theft Auto actually brings people together.
Who knew?
Now you do. You know, multiplayer action going on there. Christine, first of all, you say it's your husband's birthday, so happy birthday to Ryan. So how did you and your husband first meet?
I just wanted to tell you that I met my husband working at Walmart when we were teenagers.
Were you guys both working there?
He was working in the baby department and I was working in shoes.
Aw, you really can find everything at Walmart.
You can. 20 years of marriage.
That should be their ad campaign. What do you need? You need toilet paper, dish detergent, a wife, you know.
The Roll Up the Rim madness has officially begun. And with it, so many people are trying to win, and it's resulted in a lot of Canadians going through the garbage to check if cups have been unrolled to reveal a prize, because it's second nature, right? You drink your drink, and then you pop it in the garbage or whatever. And now...
Are you surprised by how many people actually throw out their cups without checking first?
I'm not, because I have been guilty of doing that in the past, you know, because you just kind of forget because you're so used to drinking your coffee and doing that.
I feel like producer Jordan would be the type to actually go into a garbage can.
No.
You wouldn't?
A germaphobe alert, hello, disgusting.
I feel like you would do it just to win.
If it's easy to get to, if it's on the top or like not in the garbage, yes.
Yeah, okay, it depends on if it's covered with stuff,
if it's
at the bottom.
But if it's at the top of the garbage... And it hasn't been rolled.
It could be the car, and I'm going to.
And you
take
would
it.
Go through it.
Yeah.
For those of you who are still losers, it's a 1 in 6 chance to win. How are you batting right now, Jordan?
I'm 3-0.
Oh. Three wins?
No, three losses.
3 losses.
Yeah.
Oh, for 3.
Oh, that. Tim Hortons 3, Jordan 0.
Yeah, there you go.
It's all perspective.
Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Is it rude to park next to another car in an empty lot? Because this happens often. Doesn't happen to you guys? You go to the grocery store, you go somewhere, you go to the gym. The parking lot is completely empty. You pull up, you come out of the gym, you look, and what the hell, man? Why are you parked right next to me? There's all these other spots.
That doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me in the same way that, you know, if you're in an empty movie theater and it's, you know, you have the whole place yourself and then someone walks in and sits right beside you. That bothers me. You know, when you have a whole row of urinals at a men's washroom and then the person stands right beside you.
Awkward, yes.
That gets me. When you're at a gym and you have all the treadmills that are completely open, but they choose the one right next to you. Sure, that. But the car park thing doesn't really bother me as much for some reason.
That shocks me because especially with you having a kid and a car seat, you need to be able to open that door fully.
Yeah.
To get your kid in. And then if there's a car parked right on that side... You can barely get your kid in. You can barely get your bags in.
Are they regular parking or are they jerk parking? Because if they're jerk parking, like right on the line, then yeah, of course I'm gonna be annoyed by that. If they're regular parking, generally there's enough space. And I guess maybe the way I look at it is if we're in an empty parking lot and it's the two cars and they park right beside me, now my chances of a criminal dropping by and choosing my car are now dropped to 50%.
Oh my God!
So they're gonna have another choice.
I will admit though. The type of cars do have a say on where I park sometimes when I see an empty spot. Like, if there's a car that's really well-maintained and it's very, very nice, chances are I'm going to park next to that car. Because I feel like when they get out of their car, they're going to be very cautious and very careful, and they're not going to ding my car.
Because they don't want to hurt their car.
Whereas, if I see a car that's already got a dent in it,
and the rust bucket.
Yeah, totally. I'm probably less likely. I mean, if it's the only spot, sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that, like, I was like, ooh, you don't really care about your car, so you're not going to really care about my car.
No.
So you may actually end up hitting it.
So you make that judgment based upon the fact that, you know, well, clearly they don't really.
Oh, yeah.
You know. I mean, I guess we don't necessarily know how they got their dents in their cars. Maybe there was other cars that were being jerks to them.
Totally,
right?
But they don't care enough. They haven't gotten it fixed. Mm-hmm. Mm. Right?
Not if everybody has the money to get it fixed.
If it's been there for a long time, right? It's just, I'm just saying, I'm being honest here. If you have like a very nice car and then a car that's there, you're probably going to park next to the nicer one that's like clean and shiny and sparkly and
And again, fancy. You know, the one that's more likely to be broken into in my case. So I'm like, okay, you know what? They've got nicer things.
Take their stuff.
I've got stuffed animals in the car seat in the back. There's nothing worth taking in my car. It's fine. It's fine. And you know what? If it bothers you that much, I guess what you could do is you could always just take your car and just kind of move it to the other side of the lot. And if they then follow you, then you know you've got a stalker. Yeah. Then there are bigger problems that you need to worry about.
And it's like, Jordan, go away. No. Leave me alone.
I already see you too much at work.
Wake the fun up. With Kevin and Sonia. On Kiss Radio.
So were you disappointed this morning? First thing, you wake up and you're like, where's the snow? We were promised snow.
Well, no is in the word. Oh. So just emphasize that part.
Well, there was a lot of talk yesterday about overnight there'd be 1 to 3 centimeters of snow that it would accumulate and then another 2 to 4 centimeters throughout the day today. Now, they've pushed the forecast so that the snow started this morning in many areas. I mean, there's many areas where it's just, you can't even see a snowflake, period. But there are areas where it's maybe starting to stick a little bit. And they say the snow is still coming today. But there was some magic about the idea of, in the morning, you're going to wake up, and it's going to be a winter wonderland. You're going to look out your window,
it's
and
it's the most wonderful
look at the snow. Remember that as a kid? Remember,
getting like, so pumped.
Yeah, like you know that there was going to be snow in the forecast. And so you would rush to your window first thing in the morning and you would see, I mean, sometimes it would, you know, be tied to whether or not you'd be getting a snow day.
Right.
But just the magic of seeing the first snowfall, the first significant snowfall of the season.
And now you don't rush to the window. You check Instagram first. Yeah. And then you see, like, oh, it's snowing.
You watch the tweets on Twitter, you know?
Clearly it's unpopular opinion because you both want snow so bad. I'm like, meh. Doesn't excite me.
Yeah.
Don't really care for it. Don't really want it.
Snow is amazing.
Yeah,
I'd rather have it over rain.
I especially would rather have that over the rain. The first snowfall, I think, is the magical one. And especially when it's enough snow that you can have some fun in it with the kids. Because we've got a little guy at home. So much of the snow this time around is based around, like, hey, we can build a snowman in the backyard. We can, you know, pull them in the sled.
Right.
And the fun things that are associated with snow and childhood. If you're an adult and all your association with snow now is just driving in it and the chaos that ensues when it's here in the Lower Mainland, yeah, I understand why you don't look forward to snow anymore.
I would also like to defend something that I do in the snow that apparently is very controversial, and I never really get it until it snows and everyone updates their Instagram and Facebook posts. I use an umbrella in the snow. The snow is wet. It gets on my hair. My hair gets wet. So I am going to use an umbrella. It makes sense. I don't know why people who use umbrellas in the snow get made fun of.
Do they get made fun of?
Yes, all the time on Facebook.
Really?
And Twitter, they're like, oh, look at this idiot. We're using an umbrella for the snow. It's just snow.
It's not, like, drenching you down, though.
But it's wet, and if you have humidity issues with your hair, ladies, I know you with me.
My wife's the same way.
Right. If I get a little bit of snow on my hair, that straightening job, that curl, it is gone.
All that work in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about it, yeah.
It is, I mean... I know you're looking at me like, Sonia, look at that. It could only get better.
You said that.
I saw it in your eyes.
But did I say anything verbally that, you know, would incriminate me in the future when we listen back to this clip?
No.
No.
No, but your laughter said it all.
Across Vancouver in the Fraser Valley. Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Happy Friday. Trending on Twitter, by the way, is the hashtag accurately rename a TV show. Like Dancing with the Used to Be Stars.
Oh.
Like The Walking Dead should be renamed Gross Out Your Wife, who's in the next room but can still hear the sounds of zombies eating people. Maury single-handedly supports DNA testing clinics. I want to give you some of these other ones from the hashtag accurately rename a TV show, and I want you to guess what TV show it is, okay?
Okay.
Don't get too attached to any of the main characters.
Game of Thrones.
Correct. Four scientists improbably meet women.
In meet women?
Improbably meet women. Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. Yeah. Sorry.
Six adults who always seem to find somewhere to live and can always magically find a job, but spend most of their time in a coffee shop instead.
Oh, Friends.
Correct. Hashtag accurately rename a TV show. I'm going to tell all my kids about my sexual conquest and make them guess which one of their mother is.
How I met my dear mother.
And finally, the never-ending story.
Oh.
The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Which was just renewed for two more seasons, season 31 and 32. How? I don't know.
You out of the show, though, you probably make the most Simpsons references.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it's such a big part of our culture growing up, pop culture.
Yeah.
But all my Simpsons references end like 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. Like, I can quote early Simpsons, but nothing recent.
It's probably
at all.
Exact same jokes that they're using now.
You think so?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not about to find out, though. I don't know if I'm going to dedicate that much time.
Clearly, they have their fans, though.
Yeah.
Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
So in the last couple of weeks, we've heard about TransLink's pigeon problem, and they're really trying to go to great lengths to get rid of the pigeons at their SkyTrain stations, because it's not just unsightly and messy with all the bird feces everywhere, but it's also a health hazard, they say. And the birds themselves can also trip the sensors on the SkyTrain lines, bringing the trains to a halt. So that's why they're trying to discourage the pigeons from hanging around the SkyTrain stations. And so they've tried things like, you know, bringing in a falcon. The spikes.
This is crazy.
I know, right?
Okay, yeah.
It's like the standby falcon.
Yeah,
just ready
so do they just have one handy? Okay.
Call in the falcon. So now they're taking things to the next level. They teamed up with the BC SPCA for a pilot project to give these pigeons, or at least put out food, that is pigeon birth control. So essentially it would mean that they couldn't produce any fertilized eggs. And it would only affect, essentially, I guess, in theory, those pigeons around that area. So it would stop them from breeding. So for you, you go like, So maybe there's other forms of pigeon birth control that are out there besides giving them, like, you know, the food in their pills or pills in their food, essentially.
It's just, you know what? And I know they're pigeons. Mm-hmm. I get it. But I'm like, you can't give medication to something without their consent.
They didn't consent to that, right? No, it's a fair.
But obviously they probably, I would assume, talk to some sort of animal rights activists and talk to some animal rights groups, and they have said that this is okay.
Well, again, they're working with the BCSPCA with this one. So it's a reputable organization that they're teaming up with for humane animal control.
Right. Right. It just, no, nobody else thought it was kind of weird.
Well, maybe they can find other ways to make the environment less appealing to pigeons, if anything, to be around, but also to mate in that area as well, too. What puts pigeons in the mood? Producer Jordan, can you look that up on your computer, please?
What?
Yeah.
Obviously, SkyTrains.
Something about SkyTrains. Like, oh, SkyTrains, man.
Oh, yeah. Those trains going back and forth.
Into the tunnels.
Just everyone taking it for a ride.
Jordan, you're actually looking up what turns on pigeons?
I found, why do pigeons kiss?
Why do they kiss?
I don't know. Let's see here.
Because they like each other and it's consensual.
Oh, something about consensual courtship sealed with a special pigeon kiss. It doesn't really say much.
Pigeons,
there.
They're just like us.
Yeah.
Okay, keep digging further. And then when you get to the point where you get banned off the internet, then you know you've hit something good.
Okay.
Keep us posted.
Yeah,
in the meantime, those guy drinks.
And we're learning lots about Justin Bieber and his new wife, Hailey Baldwin, thanks to the new interview on Vogue. So they're the cover stars. And Justin Bieber revealed that his battle with drugs was tough. It was very, very tough, as you can imagine. You know, and you know, growing up in the spotlight, it's not easy.
No.
So when he finally kicked drugs, he actually took up a new addiction, and that was sex. And for him, that became his new vice. So much so that when he met Hailey Baldwin, he actually was in a one-year self-imposed year celibacy. He said, you know what? I got to stop this. This is not good for me or my self-esteem. So he and Hailey Baldwin didn't consummate their marriage until actually they were actually married.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the story. The other part of the story is Hailey Baldwin admitting the fact that marriage is hard.
Yeah, that it takes work.
Which, I think most of us know.
Yeah.
I think the idea, what we see in movies and television, the fact that marriage is easy. I mean, it should be not a ton of work, but it's relationship does take time to nurture, right?
Well, it's also like when you're single and you think about it, you're like, oh, I'm just too, like, you want somebody to share your life with. And I'll tell you, say this because I was in this position. I wanted a life with somebody and I wanted someone to share it with day to day. That being said, a lot of the times when it came to doing things like going for a date and hanging out with somebody, I was always like, oh, it's too much work. And one of my girlfriends said, she's like, if you think dating's a lot of work, it doesn't get easier when you start being committed in a relationship with somebody.
Yep.
It's still work, and it's a different kind of work, but you still got to put all the effort in to think about that other person. You just can't be as selfish. So I took the time to be as selfish as I wanted to be
for a while,
and I took that opportunity to be all about me, and then I was like, okay, now I think I'm actually ready for something like that because I want someone to share it with. But you're right. Like, what was the biggest, did you notice any big changes? I mean, you've been married forever now. Almost 11 years?
Almost 12.
12 years?
So, no, it's 12. Yeah, we just celebrated our 12th.
So you've been married a long time, but did you find that things really changed from serious relationship to marriage?
No, I mean, I think our level of commitment was always super strong because we had been best friends since we were 12 years old and we grew up together and we knew that we wanted to be together and we didn't see our lives going anywhere else. You know, so on a day-to-day level, though, it didn't really change. I mean, we were already living together at the time. You know, when we got engaged, we were living together.
In sin.
Ooh.
Correct. and it didn't really change. I mean, it's not like if you were to traditionally, as a lot of people did growing up, for example, in previous generations, you get married, then you move out together, then you start that home, and that's that big change. And maybe your level of commitment is sort of emotionally heightened because you got the ring in your hand. But otherwise, I think a lot of people find that there's not a huge difference between getting married and being in a long-term relationship. Would you agree?
I don't, actually. And my husband, mom, dad, yeah, he did live with me before. They didn't fully know that he lived with me, and we lived together. But it did change when we got married. And if anything, and everyone asks me all the time, like, oh, how much did it change? And we've only been married now for a year and a half. But it just got a little bit better.
Oh, for sure,
and it's
gets
probably
better,
just like the honeymoon stage that we're probably still in, but you're more willing to do things. You're like, I want to have this ready for him when I get home, and I want this to be done so he's a little happier.
Yeah,
and you know that I can do this and surprise him, and I take more effort into planning date nights for the two of us because I know this is forever.
Right.
So I'm a little happier about doing things, where in the past I would plan like a great date night and then like 3 weeks later the guy was MIA and I was like, that was stupid.
It was a waste of your time.
Tom.
Yeah.
Why did I make him that charcuterie? You know? Oh. And in this case, I was like, oh, I want to make this. And
yeah,
I
you want to make that person happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if it is work, even if relationships are work, you know, is it worth it? Absolutely. If you find the right person, it's worth the work because you want to put that work into it. It's like anything that's fulfilling in your life.
Right. It does take a little bit of work in the sense that if you promise that you would wait for them to watch the next episode of you, that you have to work on some self-control until they get home.
Yeah.
Or really have to work on your acting skills. Like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Oh, shocker.
Like, wow. Sonia, it says it's already been watched. And it says...
what?
Kevin and Sonia's Not So Secret Word, brought to you by Pepper Wireless, the number one Fido dealer.
All right, Mike in Richmond, big weekend plans for you?
Well, the kids play soccer, so it's all about soccer, Saturday, Sunday.
At what point do they cancel or postpone a soccer game because of snow? Is it like based on how many centimeters will fall?
If it accumulates on turf, they won't like it, so the city of Richmond actually has closed the fields all week.
Plus, it's probably been pretty cold, too, for the kids.
Yeah.
Just
because there's no snow doesn't mean the ground's not frozen.
Right. And let's not forget about the parents who really have it hard. At least the kids are running around.
That's true.
They get to stay warm. The parents, it's like, ugh.
Well, the wind is a big story this weekend as well, too. They said the risk of frostbite is quite real because that wind chill making it feel like it's minus 12, minus 15 throughout the weekend as well. So for your sake, we hope the game's postponed. Meanwhile, let's take you to Emily in East Vancouver. What do you plan for the weekend?
Actually, I have no plans for the weekend. I plan to recharge.
Come and watch the soccer game.
Come and watch the soccer game.
After that discussion, she's like, I'm going to stay warm.
No, man. Yep.
So this is an interesting story. TransLink, they've been trying to do everything they can to try to dissuade these pigeons from being around the SkyTrain stations. They can trigger the sensors. They poop everywhere. It's a health hazard. So one of the latest things that they're now trying to do to control the pigeon population is...
use birdie birth control. Yeah, they want to feed them some contraception so that they don't want to be around there and not have to mate.
Yes, I mean, they're working with the BCSPA for this. They've already tried other things like, the spikes. They've tried bringing in a falcon, the standby falcon.
Because apparently they just have one ready to go here in Vancouver.
The official TransLink falcon.
Pretty good. Sounds like.
Anyway, well, today's Not So Secret Word.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird. The bird. The bird's a winner.
Okay, so bird's the word. had to play that, man. You had to play that. Oh. All right, Mike and Emily, 30 seconds on the clock each and a series of clues as to words, phrases, and names that'll have bird somewhere in the answer.
B-I-R-D, bird.
If you get the most right in your 30 seconds, you win. If you get stuck, you can pass, but you only get
one pass.
Mike, Team Kevin, or Team Sonia?
Team Kevin, please.
All right, 30 seconds on the clock with a not-so-secret word. Remember, bird to the word. 30-second our time begins right now. It's the Netflix movie with Sandra Bullock. You think of this. You get a package in the form of a blank in the mail. It's a cardboard blank.
Pass.
Okay, someone in prison is also nicknamed a what? Okay, think of the cell itself. What's that called? You're going to blank. Go directly.
Jailbird.
Yes. Someone who is not very intelligent. It's something people call you. Like, you're this. You think with your what?
Bird brain.
Yes. On the buzzer, you got bird brain in there as well. Bird Box. That's the Netflix movie that Sandra Bullock is in that everybody's talking about. You got two in that time. Mike, sit back, relax. Let's see if two is enough to win today.
All right, you ready, Emily? We just got to beat two, and you could be off to see Justin Timberlake at Rogers Arena on Valentine's Day.
I am ready.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. It starts now. Character from Sesame Street, yellow.
Big Bird.
Yes. Something you build in the backyard for flying animals to live in, and then you...
Birdhouse.
Yes. Another name for one of the characters from McDonald's. Also, if you play badminton, they call it this. Okay, another name for being really sick. You don't have a fever. You have a fever and you have another avian was one of the versions of it. You're really sick. Not a cold, but you have a...
Ooh.
Bird flu.
After the buzzer.
That was way after the buzzer.
But I like that Mike, you got bird flu as well. You're just like chomping at the bit. Like, I know this one.
And the one that you passed on was Birdie. Yes.
That's right.
So that means we're tied at two. You know what that means, guys. We got to go to the tiebreaker question this morning. Let me just get it here for you. What percentage of people say that they change this thermostat when their partner isn't looking?
All right.
Okay.
Mike in Richmond, what do you say? What percentage of people change the thermostat when their partner's not looking? Throw out a number. What do you think?
32.
All right. Emily in East Vancouver, what's your guess?
I say 20.
20%? The actual answer is 60%. 60. Mike for the win.
Wow.
Congratulations. Yeah. You've just won yourself a pair of tickets to see Justin Timberlake at Rogers Arena on February 14th.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
I do love the shock that goes in. Like, you distrust anybody in your house right now. You're like, I know they were doing it.
More than half of us do
it. I can't believe 60% of people would do that to me.
Wow.
Well, congratulations, Mike.
So unimpressed.
Especially this time of year, right? Don't touch the thermostat. Congratulations. Going to Justin Timberlake in Vancouver. And hey, you know what? As we approach the concert, maybe we'll have more tickets to give away closer too, because he's in town for two shows next week.
Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
So Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola have apologized for their recent promotional campaign. They were giving out passengers on Delta Airline flights these little napkins. And that encouraged them to write down their phone numbers and give it to their plane crush. So the napkins had the Diet Coke logos on them. And it said, because you're in a plane full of interesting people and hey, you never know. And on the other side, it said, be a little old school. Write down your number, give it to your plane crush. And then you had your, you know, name and number areas where you could fill that in. And they pulled them pretty quickly after people started complaining that they were creepy, that it would, you know, lead to unsolicited advances. And instead of being in a bar or cafe, you're in a closed-in space where you can't leave. So that's the argument to get rid of the napkins. Because it's one thing if you're willingly getting to yourself a situation where you want to meet other people, singles, and especially if, in this case, it's your plane crush. It's more than just, hey, you seem interesting to talk to. It's a, hey, I want to get to know you better. Can you imagine being stuck in a flight with that person staring at you and gawking at you the entire time?
Mean that just because you give somebody your phone number that you're going to be staring and you're going to be gawking at them, you could be interested in somebody and not make them feel uncomfortable.
Well, but you could see how that might be a worry that this might open up that avenue. You see this kind of as a harmless, you know,
promotion? I think
promotion?
It's harmless. I'm going to be honest. As a person who was single not too long ago and was in the dating world, it was freaking hard to meet people. It's really hard to make eye contact with people in just like the littlest of situations. And people often talk about like, well, how are you going to meet somebody? Well, now the only way to meet somebody is on an app. because when you go to the bar, no one looks at you. No one wants to talk to you. People have met on airplanes before. But in this case, you're saying that they're saying that that's not okay. And you can't like hand it out. It's not like you're just like randomly going to hand out your number to everybody. It's just like if you kind of felt like someone was cute, it would be a funny little thing. But now that you're thinking that somebody might get creeped out by that, that's kind of what we all used to do when we were girlfriends, like even going to Vegas and stuff like that. There'd be like a group of us and there'd be like a group of dudes and you'd be like, hey, where are you guys going to be partying this weekend? Hey, okay, here's her phone number. Give us a shout and like whatever, we'll link up later in the week or over the weekend. And it was okay. But now that there's all these rules and stuff, and I totally get consent and it being welcome and some people being weirded out, I can respect that. But it doesn't always have to be weird.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always have to cross that line. But if there's enough worry from people that there would be this opportunity to cross that line, then I can see why there's a valid argument to say, okay, maybe this was not necessarily reading the room in this current climate, I would say. One of the comments, though, that I did read about these new napkins that were pulled from Delta Airlines and Diet Coke was the fact that some people were saying, well, this is practically encouraging affairs.
How?
Huh?
That I draw the line there and go, like, I don't know where you're getting this from. Like, a napkin is going to give you this idea, like, well, napkin said I should
If somebody gave my husband their phone number because they used this napkin and gave it to him, and he, it's not like that gives him a free pass to do whatever he wants.
Right?
That's not what that means.
Your Honor, my client would like to produce Exhibit A, this napkin.
It is officially a pass that says go for it.
This exonerates my client from any wrongdoing. I rest my case.
Something good. Celebrating life's little and not so little victories. It's Fist Pump Friday.
All right, happy Friday, friends.
Happy Friday. Woo wee.
We're feeling good, and what we'd like to do is we'd like to ask you to share one good thing from your week with us. If it's a big thing, if it's a small thing, it's all worth celebrating with Fist Pump Friday. And already some of the text pouring in for 104.56.
We got a text message here from Olivia. She's like, my fist pump is that I'm going dress shopping tomorrow, and my best friend is flying in just for the shopping trip.
Yay! By the way, this is Olivia, our winner that came to Jamaica with us and got engaged on that trip when we were broadcasting live from Jamaica a couple weeks ago.
Girl.
Hi, Olivia.
That is some progress you're making. Good for you. Way to hustle.
Yeah, man.
I think they've already, like, set their wedding date and everything within a month.
Yeah, she and Eddie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
Fantastic.
That story.
Fantastic. Tina from Langley, my fist pump is that I joined the gym 2 weeks ago and I've been very consistent with going, although my body is screaming at me in pain. No pain, no gain. Beachbody, here I come. Way to go, Tina.
There you go. What's the expression? Summer bodies are made in the winter. Right?
Oh, crap. Yeah.
Ooh.
Whoopsies. Okay.
All right. Well, then my summer body will be my winter body.
Yeah, it'll be the same. I am good the way I am.
Yeah, there you go.
Another text message here. Yesterday, I got my girlfriend her second cup of Roll Up the Rim coffees from Timmy's, and it was a winner. Does that sting, Jordan? I read that one and looked Jordan right in the eye.
Yes.
Jordan's 0-3 right now.
Or as he likes to say,
3-0. Whatever. Producer Jordan, actually, since we're on the topic of your losing streak, do you have anything good from your week?
Something good actually happened. Okay, so I know some of the fellas and maybe some of the ladies will agree with me. But when I
sorry,
shave,
is this like it's like a '90s R&B song?
It is.
Woo!
Yeah.
I'm a ladies with me.
Yeah,
where the ladies at?
Let's see who's with me on this. Okay, I was shaving last night. My face, okay?
And why did you need to?
Thank you for telling us what body part you were shaving.
Yeah, I had to shave to keep it fresh on my face.
Yeah, we assumed it was your face from the get-go, but okay.
Until you said face, then I was
okay, go
You're
on.
You're welcome. But I always nick myself, okay? And last night, I didn't nick myself. There was no blood, which is a win in my books because it always happens. I'm always in a rush.
Way to not cut yourself. And shaving your groin. Great job.
Ow! No.
Manscaping.
Self-care. That's cool. My fist pump is the fact that there's snow in the forecast. And even though we're not rolling in the snow right now, I cannot wait. When we moved into our new place, early this summer, I couldn't wait for the first snowfall, playing in the backyard, making a snowman. So that's my preemptive fist pump.
Hey-o. My fist pump is that I actually just convinced a bunch of my girlfriends last night while they were sleep deprived to go to a Zumba class with me tonight because my best friend's holding a fundraiser in Delta. So I was like, hey, girls, should we all go? They all said yes. They're going to hate me later tonight. But for now, they're in.
Tell us something good.
Celebrating life's little and not so little victories.
It's Fist Pump Friday.
All right, friends, tell us something good from your world, and let's celebrate together.
Got a text message here. I bought tickets to see my best friend and my boyfriend in Nashville, Tennessee this week, so I'm out of here. Another text message. Finally got my reimbursement from the company, from our company for my education. This money goes right into my savings for a mortgage and TFSA. I'm feeling real good about getting that check.
Awesome.
Another text here. This weekend, my husband and I are going away to celebrate our first wedding anniversary. Feels weird just to say 1 year, but it's our first, saying that it's our first because we've been together for 8.5 years.
That is the thing about getting married is that if you've been together for a long time prior to that, it kind of like resets the counter. So a lot of people say like you've been together for 8 years.
Right.
Because otherwise it seems like 1 year, that's not as impressive. 8 years. Ah.
Yeah. Then you do like the sub. Because every time you ask, like, how long have you guys been married? Oh, we've been married for a year, but together for 8.5.
Yeah.
Right? There's always a subheading. Another text message. My fist pump is that I'm so excited for the Grammys on Sunday because BTS is going to be on stage and they're going to be there as Grammy presenters. That's coming in from Ren in Vancouver. Christina writes, I signed up for yoga last night, but I was waitlisted this morning. Found out that I made it in.
Yeah, right on.
Another text. This weekend is the first weekend I'm going to have off after 2 years straight of working every weekend.
2 years straight of weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's well deserved.
Enjoy it. Another text message. My fist pump is that tonight I get to be a buddy at Night to Shine, which is a ball for special needs kids. That one's from Amy. And another text message. Fist pump Friday. Mine is definitely the fact that they were wrong on the weather forecast and there's no snow. Woohoo!
I can't get on board with that. I want that snow.
You want it.
Same.
But I'll play it anyway. Sorry, let me correct that. I want the snow later this afternoon.
Once you're home.
Once I'm home.
Okay,
I'm gonna have to drive it in.
Good, yeah.
Mary,
not biased at all.
I just want it to fit my needs.
Yes.
Okay. Mary, Fist Pump Friday.
I was able to book a trip to Asia.
Wow.
Short notice.
Nice work.
I got an awesome deal with 4 nights free hotel.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I booked the tour within the trip. I got 2 for the price of 1.
That's awesome. Everything's coming up, Mary. Thanks for sharing that fist pump with us.
Thank you. You guys are terrific. Love listening to you guys in the morning.
Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Man, this Jeff Bezos story is wild. So late yesterday, the Amazon CEO dropped a big bombshell online, writing a personal blog saying that the National Enquirer was attempting to blackmail him with nude photos of him and salacious photos from his personal life. And he wrote the whole thing complete with all the receipts, showing the tabloid attempted to extort and blackmail him with a string of text messages and images sent to his current girlfriend while he was still married. So it goes into full detail about what these photos are.
Okay.
And he doesn't deny that these photos exist. Like, these are very private, very intimate, very X-rated photos. And basically, he goes into detail as to why they're blackmailing him, because they wanted him to end a Washington Post investigation, which is one that he ordered into the National Enquirer to expose connections between the Enquirer's publisher, Donald Trump, and the Saudi government. So basically, they said, hey, shut down this investigation on us, and we won't release these nude photos of you.
Isn't that blackmail?
Well, that's the whole thing. It is blackmail.
Yeah.
So he called them out on it, saying, I'm not going to deny that these photos exist, but I want to expose the fact that this is what's going on right now, and I am being blackmailed. And there's a full transcript. Like, the National Enquirer sent them an email saying, here are the, I can't remember, like 6 or 7 photos in full detail as to what they are. And they're very, 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 very explicit. And so now it's essentially taking some of the power away from the blackmailer, saying, okay, it's not like I don't want this out because I'm admitting to the fact that these exist. But now it's also showing in a very, very dark light the other side of journalism.
What you call the National Enquirer journalism, though, that's the only thing. Like, I mean, you kind of expect this behavior. If you got that sort of stuff from, like, the New York Times, you got it from the Washington Post or something like that, sure. Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised. But to be able to, the fact that he's getting blackmailed by
the National Enquirer.
It's not really a reputable source,
no,
let's be honest.
Anything you see on that magazine, I always think it's like, woman gives birth to alien baby with three heads and lives to tell the tale.
I missed that issue.
That's not true. Yeah.
Like,
so what he's saying is that he almost didn't need to admit to it because had they come out, nobody would have believed that they were real.
I think we live in a world now where that whole thing about blackmailing or putting out sex videos and tapes and things like that and photographs and whatever, nobody wants to see that anymore. I think we are living in a world right now where consent is huge and the Me Too movement and sexual assault is so huge, and that's a form of assault, taking photos and putting it out there.
Oh, no doubt it's wrong, but at the same time, they are trying to take down the world's richest man.
Right.
Who basically they're saying like, okay, pay us, you know, not pay us, but like stop this investigation, this big expose on us, because the man's very powerful.
Right, but what I'm saying is putting those photos out is not going to make the National Enquirer look good anyway, because you would know that they obtained it without his permission. Without him knowing it out, and it's just going to ruin their reputation even more. And nowadays, when we live in a world where everybody knows what's going on, if anything, it would have such a negative PR spin on National Enquirer, even more so.
Yeah, exactly. As if it doesn't already have like a negative connotation. And you're right. I think maybe more people would be interested in the three-headed baby than his, you know, junk pics.